This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World. And be sure to use discount code NERDS2016 for 20% off. That's TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 168 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? This is Ed, and welcome to the show. This week, we're going to continue part two of our year in review, 2016, the year that was. Last week, we made it all the way through the summer into the fall, and we decided to take a break. This week, we're going to continue on with the things that happened in 2016, and we're actually going to talk about a couple 2017 things also. So, sit back, listen in, and here we go.
Another bell rings for Interventions, Epcot Sum of All Thrills and Stormstruck to close in September.
Yeah.
And you know what? I missed the announcement because when we were in October, it shocked the hell out of me when Sum of All Thrills was all bagged up and disassembled.
So that basically means, and I don't know if it's east or west, so I'll call it left as you walk into the park.
The one by Ellen's.
The one by Ellen's that you could cut through to get over to Mission Space. That's pretty much empty now, right?
Yes, they had the video games last year in there. And isn't that the one where they have the one meet and greet, or is that the one where they have the Hurricane House?
Well, the Hurricane House was there, but I think that that one's mostly empty at this point. Because that's also where the Segway tours used to be once upon a time. And I think it's empty. I can't wait to see what announcement we have coming and what's going to go into that building, because it's big.
Where did we get our food and wine glasses?
That was on the other side. The other one.
That was on the other side?
Yeah.
On right, because you had to go past those meet and greets, the Baymax and Hero and...
Yes.
The other. You went
Joy and Sadness.
Joy and Sadness, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to some other announcements as we get to the fall of the year. New direct bus service from the Walt Disney World theme parks to Disney Springs. That's something new.
I didn't realize and I'm it assuming wasn't it was there previously, quite honestly, when they made this announcement.
I never looked, so I never noticed. And I assume it's only one way.
It is. It's only from the parks at Disney Springs, not in reverse.
Because why would you not want to park at Disney Springs and take the bus to the parks? So that makes a lot of sense. And something that people are always looking for, especially resort guests. Go to the parks, go to Disney Springs, take your bus back to your resort, chill out.
Yeah.
Now, this is something I noticed in Tomorrowland. They have a new color scheme for the Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland Rockwork.
Yeah.
They redid a lot of that. And I only mention it here because that is such a light thing to mention in a whole year of these other announcements.
It's a nerdy thing to mention. I love it.
But it was really noticeable, and I noticed it without even like noticing this. And also the color scheming and the theming of the Carousel of Progress, which in 2016 they did the entire building and all the signage around it too this year. And I thought that was a really good improvement. Forget the whole it should look old. No, I don't buy that.
No, I like it. Inside, it's fresh. It looks good.
Yep.
I think it reflects some of the things they've done inside Carousel Progress. Slowly tweaking things and redoing animatronics, and it looks great inside there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very much so. So now we're getting to some of the announcements that sound a lot more current because we just really kind of heard them. This next one I haven't heard much about since the actual announcement. Guest relations services being tested in the Magic Kingdom Tomorrowland. they had the guest services set up in the arcade area of Space Mountain. And I do remember in the beginning they were setting it up, and I heard it was going for a couple weeks, and that was it. So I'm assuming it's gone, unless you guys know anything else.
I did not see it.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, so I'm wondering. I thought it was a great idea. It's a lot. It's a big walk to get to the main, to the front of the park if you had any issues. Yeah, but not a lot of the other parks have it either. So, light thing. Here was another big announcement that was kind of an odd announcement. Stitch's Great Escape goes seasonal. I couldn't figure that one out. I thought Stitch would be used as a great ride to get people off the lines for Space and Buzz and some of the other bigger ones. No?
I don't think it was drawing enough people.
Well, again, why the reason to make it seasonal? How does it not draw enough people to keep it open?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. It was shut down when we were there in October.
Right. So what's... Okay, let's ask this a different way, I guess. What happens after a ride at Disney World goes seasonal?
It goes away.
So, I predict...
Oh, come on.
That's not right. If that's the case, I think that there's a new nighttime show coming to Animal Kingdom.
But seriously, it's almost like they're not admitting that something's not working. Let's go seasonal. It's not popular enough to keep open every day of the week, but we'll go seasonal with it, and maybe that'll fix it.
So let's define seasonal. So Sam, when you were down there recently, was it open?
I don't believe so. It's not on my list of things to do. But
I don't understand why not.
But walk past I believe it was open.
I go on Stitch every time I'm in the park. I mean, if I'm there for the day and I have time to go on rides, I usually hit Stitch. I love that ride.
So maybe seasonally means when you're down there.
I'm sure seasonal means when the parks are capacity.
Yeah.
Which it would mean when I'm down there. But anyway. So now here's another announcement, which doesn't mean anything to me since I've never been. However, I hear so many people talk about it. Sanaa introduces quick service and grab-and-go breakfast. Is that a big story or not?
Oh, I hadn't heard that, but that's really exciting.
Having never stayed there, no, but I could see for people that do stay there, this could be good. A grab-and-go from one of your favorite restaurants. I get it.
Cool. Okay, so we're moving into October, and that is actually when the Great Moments in History with the Muppets opened up in the Magic Kingdom, which was advantageous since we were there the week of following.
That's right.
Right after.
Yep.
So we were psyched to see it. Can't talk enough about it. What else was announced in October? The third parking garage coming to Disney Springs in 2019. I wonder where it's going to be. Where the old bus stops were, maybe? Down in West...
By Marketplace?
Yes.
Could be. Not sure. I tell you what, whatever contractor got the contract for these garages has just had constant work for years now. From the first garage at Disney Springs to the second garage at Disney Springs, now they're over building a garage at Hollywood Studios in the parking lot for cast members, and then they're going to come back to Disney Springs for another one. It's a good contract if you can get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very much so. Muppets Mobile Lab returning to Epcot. Which we all saw, which is cool. Yeah. Not all of us, but we all had a good shot at it, some of us. Walt Disney celebrates the 45th anniversary.
I was able to get my hands on a few things later on, later than I expected to. I was able to get my hands on quite a few things, so I was really excited.
And to be honest with you, I think it mattered on the store. Like, if it was in Frontierland, you had a chance to maybe catch some extra 45th anniversary stuff, I heard. But, yeah, all the front stores, definitely not. Now, here's a closing that everybody's looking forward to, I guess. The Hall of Presidents, set for the near six-month refurbishment. So it's going to be down for 6 months.
Yep.
We're going to be putting our new president in there and reorganizing, I guess, the people sitting in there. Now, it was funny because the Facebook page mentioned that it was going to be reorganized in that it's only going to be Donald on the stage by himself. So I'm going to wonder what they're going to do with all the other animatronics if they do that.
That's interesting. So, it closes closes the 17th for refurbishment, next Tuesday.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, that's not going to be the case.
I sort of just said, is it April 1st?
Yeah, I know, right?
So this is so historically, it plays like this every time there's a change in presidents. It closes in January, and it reopens sometime around the 4th of July with some fanfare. Happens every time there's a new president.
I can't imagine it. It's going to be interesting to see. Okay. Some other big news in October, Hurricane Matthew. Have you guys ever heard of this Hurricane Matthew?
No.
Yes.
Ugh. No, there was a hurricane in October?
How about that?
Boy, that must have ruined some people's plans.
Yeah, it's why I did not get to Animal Kingdom at night.
27 hours in a car, Sam. I win.
Go back and listen to those shows if you have not.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked a lot about it, and if you're a listener of the show, you've heard an earful. If you're not, just as an FYI, we're all down at Walt Disney World for Hurricane Matthew. Which, in that weird geekness of being on a ride when it shuts down, we were there when the park shut down, and it was kind of an interesting kind of go-around. Definitely lost out some park time. We made out, basically, by getting some tickets for that, so it kind of worked out in that regard. Some of us that didn't have annual passes, the one time it paid off. And so it was an experience.
It wasn't interesting. It absolutely sucked.
For
those days.
No, I disagree. For those days it did. Although Friday, the main day of the hurricane, once it got out of town, they did open it up at 5 o'clock. We all went down to Disney Springs with every other person at Walt Disney World. And even that was interesting. It was... And you can go back and listen to the shows and hear the complete. It was a bit crowded and a bit, like, out of control, but very, very interesting and kind of fun.
Yeah, and the crazy part was, and Ed, you even mentioned it before, that the day after, it was everything business as usual.
Like, yep, not a stick out of place.
Not a stick out of place. It was absolutely perfect, and man, did we do as much as we could those last couple of days.
And you got to look at it this way. Disney doesn't close all that often.
That's right.
All that often, so you've got quite an experience there.
Okay, so this is an odd announcement, and I actually didn't hear about this. Rivers of Light dining packages to begin in May 2017. Didn't we just hear something about them canceling that indefinitely? I think it's good. They had a cast member show, I think, a couple weeks ago, or maybe a little longer than that even, and I haven't heard anything after that. Something happening at Hollywood Studios, and we mentioned this earlier, the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam coming to Hollywood Studios for the holidays.
Bam.
Which, has everybody seen the Star Wars show? They do the same exact thing with just holiday.
Yeah, we talked about that on the previous show, and just the technology is awesome. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you could switch it out from Star Wars to a Christmas show, you can do anything. Love it.
Oh, no doubt. Once Upon a Time projection show to replace Celebrate the Magic in November. Did that happen?
It did, but I didn't notice that it was different, quite honestly, because it's the same Wreck-It Ralph kind of projection on the castle, and some of it was the same, and some of it was different. Not that the other shows hadn't evolved over time, right? So there's still a castle projection show. And it was.
Is it the same music?
For segments, yes.
When somebody says Celebrate the Magic, automatically the song goes off in my head.
So it's not that music, but some of the segments were the same.
So that's the name of the show, actually, and I guess they just do the different music behind that. Here's an interesting thing. As we get into November, we had another drone announcement. Disney got FAA approval for drone flights over its U.S. theme parks. I do remember that one a little bit, where they had to stay 100 feet away from crowds and things like that. And we did talk a lot about drones previously. And I do remember right after they had this announcement, they started flying them, which was very cool. Okay, another announcement. And this one actually caused a lot of conversation for us. A four-park magic ticket. Basically, it's a ticket that gets you to the four different parks on four different days, no hopping involved. So you're just going to go to the Magic Kingdom today, you're going to go to Epcot tomorrow, whatever you choose, but you can't go to the same park twice. They don't give you that option. So we kind of went back and forth with that. We did find out economically, cash-wise, it did save you money if you were going to do that. Other than that, we weren't too sure how it was going to affect our kind of touring, though, because we do. I love switching parks midday. I mean, I think that's kind of classic in the way I tour. But maybe you can get away without it.
When I first went down with my kids, I just got a base ticket and did one park a day. Certainly it's feasible, but it requires a ton of planning. Mm-hmm. More planning than it would if you had a park hopper.
Oh, no doubt. You really don't have an option to kind of opt out and go somewhere else. And you're right. The planning definitely takes advantage of that. Okay, so another big announcement. I thought this was kind of overdone, and I haven't heard much about it since, though. They unveiled the new Magic Band 2. So have they started distributing those guys?
I know for this trip that I have coming up, I opted out of the Magic Band because I'm using my annual pass at Magic Band. But they had not shipped out the Magic Band 2 for this. But for my February trip, I'm going down for the Princess Half Marathon weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be shipping us out, and I just selected my Magic Bands today.
Cool.
For that trip. And that's supposed to be the Magic Band 2.
Nice. So did you actually select pictures of the new one online, or just...
No, it's just the colors, and it's the picture of the old one.
Gotcha. And just in case you haven't heard, and we did talk about this in length earlier on a different show, but the new Magic Bands are pretty cool in that they actually have a small center core, a round piece, I guess, that includes all the electronics that then can be used in different ways. It can be put into a watch-type accessory, a lanyard-type accessory, even a keychain accessory. So it kind of lets you be a little bit more flexible with your Magic Band. And actually, that's going to come in really handy, I think, on a lanyard. I think that's how I would wear it, as far as scanning and stuff like that. I always have a hard time turning my wrist around. Am I totally backward or what?
I get it's good.
And matching it up. Yeah, it doesn't always automatically do it. Okay. Here's another big thing that brought a lot of conversation. The Magic Kingdom is now offering private cabanas for $650 a day.
Oh.
We saw a couple quick pictures of this, and we figured out they were located right off of Tomorrowland. I guess that was... I don't know. I haven't heard anything more about them.
No, nor have I. The ones that I saw were in Tomorrowland as you're headed towards Space Mountain on the right, sort of behind the restroom area back there. So a little bit out of the way, but I haven't heard anything since.
And I know that there are perks that go along with it, including beverages and right. I believe specialty seating to the parades and wishes in the castle show, but I'm not certain it's $650 worth of perks.
Right. And we went through all the different scenarios where maybe it might come in handy for something, like if you had 8 people or you had a big family reunion and you're going to be in Magic Kingdom from, you know, opening at 8 a.m. till closing at midnight. Maybe. I still think my fact of that for $650... I'm pretty sure you can get a room over at the Polynesian or the Contemporary and, hey, take a break over there.
For cheaper than that.
A lot cheaper. Well, no, I take that back. Yeah, I'm not sure how much cheaper than $650, but cheaper. Plus there's a shower, there's a whole room, whatever. The convenience, I guess you can't really beat it if it is in the park. We'll see.
Ed, there were a couple of interesting changes that happened over at the Boardwalk Resort. Throughout the year, they made some announcements of things to come and things that went. And I wanted to bring them up for a specific reason here. But if you look at it, and if you're familiar with the boardwalk, the area that was the ESPN arcade closed, and what used to be Seashore Suites, which was the little candy shop, closed, and those were under walls for quite some time. And then they reemerged later as Ample Heels Creamery, which is really the location where the ESPN arcade used to be, and the Abracadab Bar, which is a new bar
right.
facility over there at the boardwalk. So it changed quite a bit. It made some changes, some for the better. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up, you and I and some others from the Disney Nerds did a tour of the Boardwalk Resort. It's been a few years ago now. In fact, you can listen to that tour back in show number 54. From 2014, believe it or not. That's how far back it was.
Wow.
But that changed the story of the boardwalk quite a bit, because that old Seashore Suites is where they had the pictures of the Miss Americas and the pageants, and there was a lot of tie-in to the Boardwalk Resort. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, Show 54 is going to be the place to go and listen to that full tour. And maybe it's a reason to go back and go through another tour to find out how they tie the Abracadabbar and Ample Hills into that story. But something interesting that changed in 2016.
You made it to the Abracadabbar, didn't you?
I did. Jimmy and I made it there two nights before the hurricane. So on our way out of Epcot, we swung by there, had a couple of drinks. It was I liked it. I love the theme to it. It's got a little mystery to it. Definitely a laid-back place. It looks like it's like Trader Sam's, but a different vibe to it, kind of what they want, and you can tell that's what they're after. It was a long day because it was the day that I flew down, so I didn't stay all that late. And we had planned to go back to it, but Matthew had other ideas for us.
That's right. That was going to be Thursday night.
Yep. So we'll put it on the list for next time. But anyway, some interesting changes at the boardwalk if you're familiar with that area. Mm-hmm. By the way, Ample Hills Creamery is huge. They went from a tiny little ice cream counter inside of Seashore Suites to an entirely huge area with the scale is mind-blowing what they were able to do.
Cool. Yeah, that is one area of the whole resort that I really don't get too often. I think I've only been to the boardwalk with you guys, that whole area.
I was able to get to the Abracadabbar, and I agree with you. I thought it was very well themed. It was incredibly slow the night I was there. That was really good. And I will say,
don't tell anybody about it. We'll keep it
down. the ice cream, the Ample Hills, that ice cream was very good.
They did.
Oh yeah, we went when we took our tour through the boardwalk areas and then the hotel there. We had ice cream at, like, what was it, 9:10 in the morning?
Yeah. Well, and that was at the old place before they closed and opened the new one. Yeah.
Yep. But really good ice cream. Okay, here's another announcement that came in December that was pretty odd, and I think we're actually going to take advantage of that. Some of us are going to take advantage down this year. Disney introduces the Express Transportation Ticket option. So basically what that was, or who wants to tell us what that is?
Oh,
I think Lisa should.
I'll be more than happy to. now Disney will be offering Express Transportation park-to-park transportation, where it'll be, I believe it's $15 a day or $24 for a week, not including those that have an annual pass. If you have an annual pass, you have to pay daily. And you go to your first park, for example, Magic Kingdom, you go through security, and you will enjoy the park for the set amount of time, and then you go to a specific bus stop, and at Magic Kingdom that bus stop is over by Buzz Lightyear. There's a stand there, and you're able to get on an express bus and hop from Magic Kingdom to, say, Animal Kingdom, and the Animal Kingdom, it will drop you off right next to the safari. You will bypass security because you've already gone through it once, and then you'll be able to enjoy that park. And if you so choose, you can hop on the express bus, which is right next to the safari, and take it to Hollywood Studios. And at Hollywood Studios, that bus stop is right next to Rock and Roller Coaster. If you so choose to take the express bus to or from Epcot, that is right next to Innovations, I believe. Or Spaceship Earth, just to the left of Spaceship Earth, actually. So for $15 a day, and that's something you can set up through guest relations or your concierge, or you can get it right at the express bus stop. You can pay your $15 and hop on and check it out. And what they say is that it's quicker because you're bypassing security, but
sure,
they are also taking you alternate routes to each of these parks.
Yeah, you're entering the park inside the park already. That's great.
Which is really cool, and I can't wait to hear more about that.
My intention is to experience this in my next trip and report back.
Right, and I'm already thinking of ways you kind of use the system. Like,
sure,
you have a park like Magic Kingdom opening at 8, and Epcot opens at 9. So you go to Magic Kingdom at 8, you hop the bus from there at 8:30 to Epcot, and you end up coming out, and Epcot Intervention's already in front of the crowd. Boom, there you go.
Yeah, I don't think the bus service starts till 10 a.m., if I read that right.
Right, okay, and that's the things we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
So, oh well, so much for that.
No, but there's other ways. I mean, just the fact that when you say bus stop, Lisa, you know, I immediately think, okay, down Main Street, out the corner, all the way over to the bus stops. That's not it. You're talking about going to Buzz Lightyear and going in some back door and getting on a shuttle bus. And boom, getting off of the bus in the Animal Kingdom right by the Fastpass entrance to the safari. That's just mind-blowing. That changes everything.
Right. Think about how much time you cut down.
Sure. The walk to the bus, it definitely changes design and planning.
Right. And now it's going to have to see how the execution goes, because if you're going from the Magic Kingdom, how long do you wait before your Hollywood Studios bus gets there? Right.
And that's the other thing, is that these buses will run every 30 minutes. So they're
right. So you'll have to time it out, or not. You probably won't even know how to time it out. Well, I take that back. You know, why wouldn't they have the same signs they have at the resorts telling you what time the next bus will get there, though?
Correct. And I mean, in theory, if it starts at 10 a.m., you got to assume that it's every 30 and on the hour.
Yeah, but then again, the assume thing kicks in, because we know what Disney's like with buses.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're moving on, and this is kind of cool. In December, we had Rogue One open up, so of course we have to have the park tie-ins. Galaxy Far, Far Away gets the second scene with some extra Rogue One characters, and Spaceship Earth transforms into the Death Star, which is pretty cool. However, if you only do it once, I don't see the fun of that. You got to do it every so often.
It was cool to see them finally reuse the projection technology that they used once before from Mike Wazowski. It's been a couple of years.
Mike was better.
Well, Mike was better because Mike was a bright color projected onto a dark surface, not a dark color projected onto a dark surface.
Right.
I think
it was
a gray color projected onto a gray surface.
It just, so you had to kind of squint a little bit to see the Death Star, but it was cool. The laser was really neat. You can't, that was cool the way they pulled that off.
Yep, and again, the laser technologies, Hollywood Studios, they're shooting freaking lasers at us out of the walls. they're using it everywhere now. It's great. Okay, here's another announcement that happened in December, and I didn't actually hear this one, but it's awesome to hear it, and we'll see if it happens. Rivers of Light, coming in May 2017.
Didn't you read that, coming in May 2016?
I thought so.
Yeah, okay, May 2017.
No, that was a delay. Yeah. So hopefully everything gets working. I hope it's going to live up to now the expectations. And it'll be a fun new show over Animal Kingdom.
I know the music is out, and the music is gorgeous. I don't know whether or not you've had an opportunity to listen to the music.
I have
music
not.
The music is great.
Right. Now I'll have to check it out. Now here's something that I noticed, and I don't have an Android phone, so I didn't get to check this out. Do either of you guys have an Android? I know Jimmy does, and I didn't have a chance to ask him about this.
I do not.
The My Disney Experience debuts on the Android, which, why is that such a big deal? It hasn't been, it's a major new version. I take that back. So there's a new version on the Android. I haven't seen it. I'm not sure what the deal is. We'll have to touch base with Jimmy now. He's down there. I'm sure he's using it.
I'm sure he's using it right now.
Yes. don't start. okay, so reservations now open for Star Wars guided tour at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Seven hour tour.
Wait a minute.
Seven?
Is this open now in that you can go on the tour this week, or is this opening up 2 years from now when Star Wars Land opens?
No, this is now.
What do you do for 7 hours?
All right, so for the Power of the Park side, the Star Wars guided tour, it's a VIP experience with unparalleled activities. So let's see what you get here. You get a private screening of Star Wars Path of the Jedi. You get preferred access to Kylo Ren. You also get to witness two live stage shows, Star Wars A Galaxy Far, Far Away and The March of the First Order, both from a reserved viewing location. If you have any younglings, they will be enrolled in Jedi Training Academy. You will be part of Star Tours. The adventure continues. You will also get into a Star Wars-inspired dinner at the Backlot Express. That tells me it's a little like the Backlot Express that they turned...
Star Wars weekends.
You got it. You also get to join Chewbacca and Kylo Ren at meet and greets. There are some exhibits in Launch Bay that you will get a tour of. You will get the Galactic Spectacular Dessert Party and premier access to the Star Wars Galaxy Spectacular Nighttime Fireworks.
You know, it's funny. As you're going through step by step, it's almost like doing the final showcase at Price is Right. I'm adding up each of those different things.
So add them up, and do you come up with...
Two something? How much was this?
$121.
No.
$121.
That's the dessert party price.
I'm telling you right here. U.S. price, $121. Click for information. The power of the park side. 7-hour adventure. That can't be right.
That can't be right.
Hurry up. Sign up. I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah, something's going on here. I do not know how much it is.
Okay.
You get to do everything that's Star Wars, basically. There's nothing not on that list.
Right. And that is a pretty cool list. Now, here's my thing now. Most of the tours in Disney World are structured. You're going to do this. What do they do with the Padawan training with one youngling from a whole group of maybe 20 people? Does everybody hang out and watch? And I'd be interested to see that. You mentioned how you become a part of Star Tours. Is that just a cool way of saying riding Star Tours? Or do they do something more than that? And then the other side of this whole thing is how much did it disrupt people not on the tour as you're on the tour? Because even walking through Star Tours, you have the line. That's all. There's no real way to get around that. So it'd be interesting to see this. I love tours. I just can't see 7 hours. I will have to find out the price. I know it's not listed on their site now, but hopefully it will be soon. We'll see. Wow, guys, we're almost to the end of 2016 now, and there's a couple more announcements. And I tell you what, this was one that kind of caught us, and I thought it was pretty cool. Alcohol comes to some more Magic Kingdom restaurants. Now, we knew it came to Beer Guest, and they added it to Tony's, I believe. And I want to say...
Beer Guest at this point. That's the only place it is right now, before this announcement.
Oh, right, exactly. But then they're adding Tony's, and they're adding... what's the colonial place again?
Columbia Harbor House?
No, the sit-down.
No, they're, it's only sit-downs is where they're adding it. Oh, Liberty Tree.
Liberty Tree Tavern, yes.
They're also adding it to the Liberty Tree Tavern, and they're being very controlling about it. You can't leave with it, and so it isn't like you're walking around the parks with drinks yet.
Yeah, no, the rules for Be Our Guest always have been maximum of 2 beers per person or 2 drinks per person, and absolutely no to-go containers at all. It had to be consumed with food.
And I tell you what, I kind of disagree with that policy. They don't have it in the other parks, so why in Magic Kingdom? I understand it's our legacy park, it's the original one, and it is the most likely park kids are going to go to, but I tell you what, my 2-year-old is going with me to Animal Kingdom, and going with me to Epcot, and going with me to Hollywood Studios, and people are walking around with drinks there, so I think Magic Kingdom needs to rethink that a little bit, but we'll see. And again, that's a big conversation starter. From the Facebook page, you start talking about alcohol at Magic Kingdom, that brought a lot of different opinions out. That was a pretty cool conversation. Okay, so we're finishing up.
I have an update for you, Ed. The new Star Wars guided tours at Disney's Hollywood Studios that we just talked about can be booked at 407-WDW-PLAY, so you have to call to book them. And all of that stuff we talked about is $129 a person.
That can't be true.
Really?
$129. You have to have a park ticket, obviously, but it's $129, which to me is the price of the dessert party... and a couple of fast passes that are getting thrown in. It's $129.
But that's that can't be. But we'll see.
So you're booking it then?
You know, I'm definitely booking. I'm going to plan a trip around that if it's $129. You got to figure lunch and the
And dessert party are the two things.
Main things. Actually, you are right. The only things you're paying for. The other thing is you're paying for the time of the tour guide
and a fast pass, basically.
Interesting.
129.
Disney Park. So essentially, it's a fast pass to Star Tours and the character experiences as well. Plus, yeah, right, probably really good viewing to the
Star Wars. Well, it's okay viewing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay viewing. Okay. Listen to our summer shows about the parks.
Yeah.
And we were taken over there. And to be honest with you, standing right in front of the display was much better than over on the side there. But yeah, it was nice because you were kind of in your own area and you weren't really cramped. So it was cool in that regard. Okay, cool, guys. Well, let's finish this year that was 2016. One of the biggest announcements, I think, coming to the parks was the Epcot International Festival of the Arts, which is going to debut in January 2017. They're going to have a lot of Broadway stars on stage singing for us. What other kind of stuff are they going to have? Did you guys? I didn't research it because I'm not going to be there. Lisa?
They will have specialty food, specialty beverages. It's going to be very similar to – it's bridging the gap between holidays around the world and the Flower and Garden is really what you're looking at. So the booths will be open. They're going to have chefs that will be there. They're going to do their own specific culinary art, which you'll be able to consume, as well as specific artists that are going to come and put on shows. Theatrical performers are coming. They have a different theatrical performer every week. It's from Friday to Monday. Actors and actresses that have performed Disney Broadway in New York and across the country, those performers will be coming and performing at the American Garden Theater.
Cool. Nice.
You know, in looking at some of the things happening, because that starts this weekend, there are some art workshops that look interesting. And, Ed, you might find this a little interesting. They have some former Disney animators doing some drawing classes. That's sort of interesting.
I did see that. Very much so.
Yeah, because that's, you know, I know that you were quick to run over to Art of Animation and do some of that when it was around. Mm-hmm. Some cell painting seminars, animation films to theme parks. There's some cool little things happening, including a photography 101 class, napkin folding. There's some cool things going on.
So basically the seminars and the drinkologies.
Seminars and drinkologies. They also have some interesting things around World Showcase. So Saturday and Sunday only in Japan, there's some origami classes happening. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Very cool. It'd be nice. And it is the first year they're doing it. And as we've seen with Flower and Garden and Food and Wine, the first year gets going and every consecutive year just gets better and better. So looking forward to this one.
Disney,
if I could ever get down
Disney
there.
Cruise Lines is sponsoring some things in the Canada Pavilion. I wonder if there's some Canadian cruises on the horizon.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Gotta wonder.
I think one of the things that we missed was the opening of the new Soarin' Around the World.
Oh, that's right. We did see the closing of it, and I did forget to mention, or we did forget to mention the opening, which was a... it was in our summertime, and we were able to see it then, and then also on the October trip. We never had our Soarin' show, so I almost hesitated.
We will do a Soarin' Disney in details at some point.
And that has to tell you something. We're not screaming how great it is, and we're not saying how it stinks. However, it's not as good as it could be.
But
now, see, that's even too harsh because it is for what it is. It's pretty incredible.
If you've never been on Soarin' before, you absolutely love it and think it's absolutely perfect. I think maybe we as nerds set our expectations a little too high.
Sure, sure.
And maybe that's the best way to summarize it. But it's great. It's awesome, and I'll write it again. I mean,
and it's certainly a full show topic. I'm excited to see that down the road.
Yeah,
we have many full show topics. In fact, we should be asking our listeners what they'd want to listen to as well, because there's so many things. I want to get back to Disney in details and just dissect things like we did Illuminations way back when and a couple of other attractions where the story is inside the story. And I love that stuff. That's why I'm in there.
Well, no doubt. That's going to be our 2017. We're going to have some armchair Imagineering. We're going to be doing a little bit of redesigning. We're going to be definitely doing some more Wheel of Attractions down the road. So there's a lot of good things to look forward in 2017. Before we get there, one last thing to mention in 2016 that they announced at the parks that I thought was pretty significant. Everybody knows what a rope drop show is, or might know what a rope drop show. All the parks had them. You would go through the turnstiles.
I like how you said that.
Did I say? Yeah, I did say had.
Yeah.
Which is such an unfortunate word. Mm-hmm. You got through the turnstiles. You basically went so far into a park where you came to a rope. You stopped, hung out, and there would be a great show that would welcome you to the park that day. They would drop the rope, and everybody would walk to the big rides. Magic Kingdom was the holdout. They had that awesome show in front of the train station where you would be welcomed to the park by the mayor of Main Street. And the singers would come out, the characters would come out, the family of the day. The show has gone away, at least for now. I don't know if this is a permanent change, because I know some of the trains are down at this point, and the railroad's being rebuilt, or something's going on in that regards. But the new welcome show is down by the castle. So the way it sounds to me and the way it's been explained is that you're going to go through the turnstiles, and then you're going to end up on Main Street to walk down to the castle. So you can get to the park whatever time that it opens up, hour early, hour and a half early, and now you can experience Main Street. Have breakfast over at the Starbucks, or move down. Casey's actually has a breakfast menu now, which is phenomenal. But who would ever have thought the hot dog place would be serving breakfast? I think this is a win. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm really on the fence about this one. There is something magical about that show in front of the train station. But I understand, and I'm looking forward to Main Street first thing in the morning. Because the earlier you get there, the better it is. And now you're not kind of dealing with all the crowds that were coming off Main Street. Or coming off of the train station, rather.
I just had a bad thought, though. Now, the incentive to get early breakfast reservations for Crystal Palace or to take an early tour so you can get on Main Street and basically have nobody there with you, that might have gone away.
Or the times have at least shifted, right?
I think that's more like it.
Yeah, the times may have shifted. I think time will tell there. I absolutely positively love the morning show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Mm-hmm. How can you not like that? The train comes around and watching little ones see that for the first time and see Mickey step off the train, it's just so magical. And it's one of those things that started small, not everybody knew about. Then it grew and grew and grew. And I think Disney got to a point where they had an entrance that was packed with people. And once that show was over, there was a stampede down Main Street that bordered on becoming dangerous. And I have seen that happen before. When that morning show's over and they open underneath those tunnels and people just flood in, there is absolutely a rush down Main Street to be the first person alive for Space Mountain or the Mine Train or whatever the big attraction might be. I think what they've done here has very much a safety connotation, because now you're allowing people onto Main Street. You're allowing them to sort of mingle and relax and spread out and gather around the castle stage for a very short show. If you've seen this, it's about 3 minutes long. That's it. It's talking Mickey and a bunch of the characters that come on, and then they go to their different areas. And now you've dispersed those people to the entrance to Tomorrowland and Frontierland and the castle, and you've cut down on some of that stampede. I think that's a lot of what's behind it, which is why I don't think we go back to the previous show. But I will always miss that morning show. I just think it was absolutely priceless, and I'm glad that there's a Sam's Disney Diary out there somewhere all about that, because it was definitely something that got my kids out of bed, believe it or not, early on vacation to get to the Magic Kingdom. We want to see the morning show. We want to see the train. I want to see Mickey. So I will miss that. But at the same time, no, times change.
True. And I do see the smartness of what they're doing here. It does make a lot of sense. And, yeah, we'll see. Time always tells in these things. But as time tells us, we've been going for a long time tonight.
We have.
And,
whole year.
And it was a whole year. That was 2016. Guys, let us know what we missed. If we missed something major, or if we missed something that you thought was major, that's important to us. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Let us know what it is. So that's it for this week, guys. For Lisa, Sam, this is Ed. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
So long, everybody.
Congaloosh.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals